Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we focus our attention on this, the Sunday after Christmas, on the gospel reading for today, recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. When they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, they didn't find him. They went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the word we consider. My dear brothers and sisters, celebrating again the birth of our Savior, waiting for his coming again in glory, which he has promised to us and which he has given to us as a special gift. The Sunday after Christmas usually doesn't quite come the next day, but here it is. And if we take a look, it's a unique day, isn't it? For some, it's going to be a time to relax. All the preparations are done, all the things we were hoping for and all the things we were planning, they're all hopefully accomplished. For others, it's going to be a time to go out and get those after Christmas sales and maybe exchange some of the gifts that don't fit or they don't care for. Others, it might just be enjoying a Sunday, or like us, coming to worship. To worship the greatest gift of all time. Now, when I say that, a lot of folks talk about the greatest of all time. They call it the GOAT, greatest of all time. And what would be your greatest gift of all time? Think about it for a moment, and well, on a Sunday morning, we might say, well, it's obviously Jesus. Well, it is. And let's just think about that today. Think about this great gift that God has given us. It comes wrapped like one of us, but comes to save us all. The events that we have before us are fairly familiar to us because they are the very unique part of Jesus' life told to us about his childhood. We have his birth in Bethlehem. We have him being presented at 8 days at the temple and being named and circumcised. But then we don't hear of him now until he's 12. I know it's a bit of a leap, isn't it, to go from yesterday when we were talking about his birth, now he's 12 years old. But we learn a lot about his family, and we learn a lot about Jesus. We learn that his family, we're told, went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover, which they did every year. The Passover was one of the festival feasts for the Jews. They were really kind of required to go to Jerusalem, but you couldn't always make it if you're from a distance. Think about it, going from Nazareth to Jerusalem, that's a long trek. That's not like getting in your car and just driving a couple hours and getting there and going back home. No, this had to be planned out, and they did it every year. Every year they went to the temple to worship the Lord. And every year we might think, well, Jesus was maybe with them, or maybe they left him at home with some friends while they went to Passover. We're not sure of those years, but we do know that when he was 12, nowadays that would be the age of bar mitzvah for the Jews, but the fact is, when he was 12, Jesus joined them. And the festival goes on for a while. You don't just travel, pack up and leave, and go back home right away. They stayed to enjoy the festival, to do the worship, to witness the sacrifices, to celebrate the history of Israel in the wilderness, that God had brought them courtesy of the very first Passover. Jesus was there, and as they were preparing then to leave, Mom and Dad, Mary and Joseph, they left with the family and just figured Jesus was with some friends. I've often thought about that, having been and being a parent. Would I have at least checked in on him to make sure he was with him? Come on, we're going now. Would I have had a physical contact? I might have. I'm not going to fault Mary and Joseph at this. That. Jesus was a normal child. Important for us to know. He was a normal child. Played with his friends, played with his cousins or relatives, whoever might have been there, the neighbors, others who maybe came from Nazareth. He was with them, and so Mary and Joseph left, and they went a full day's journey. Now, we don't think much of that. What's a full day's journey? It's one thing to do it in a car or a van. It's a whole other thing to do it on foot. And if we think about it, it's all downhill from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is being up in the mountains. The first day going downhill is going to be the easy part. By the end of the day, at the end of the travel, when they're going to make a little camp, Jesus isn't around. He's not with his friends. He's not with his families. He's not with any of their relatives. He's not with anybody they would know. And now they're concerned. So they're going to have to go back. Remember I said it was all downhill, going away from Jerusalem? They've got to go back, and now it's all uphill as well. They've already had a day's journey, and now they're going to have to make another day's journey going back. So there's 2 days gone, and then, well, when they get back to Jerusalem, where do you start to look? Where did they all go? Maybe they traced their footsteps of going all the different places they stopped, or maybe the little shops they had visited or something. They're looking at every possible place where Jesus might be. Maybe asking people, have you seen this little boy? We're not sure all the things that take place. Can only imagine how worried and anxious Mary and Joseph were. And then they end up at the temple, and there they see Jesus. They see Jesus not cowering in some corner, afraid because he lost his mom and dad. No, he's with the teachers. And he's asking them questions. Don't get the understanding that he's teaching. No, he's asking questions. He's listening. Because remember, this greatest gift of all time, the Son of God, comes wrapped as one of us. He's perfectly human. He will grow. He will learn. Even as God, he's got all these things to take in because he has to be our perfect substitute. The one who gave his life in place of ours, lived his life in place of ours. Mary and Joseph, you can only imagine the excitement when they come up. You can only imagine the depth of the hugs that were given. Why have you worried us like this? And Jesus doesn't seem real upset. Matter of fact, he seems quite calm, doesn't he? He's calm because he tells them, don't you know? Wouldn't this have been the first place you would have looked for me? Going about my Father's business. Going about that which God has given to me to do. Sometimes we miss that. With all the celebration of Christmas, of all the children ever born, this one had his life planned out for him. This one had his goals all measured for him. And his mission was very clear. He came not for himself, but for everyone else. And the greatest gift of all time was going to be the Savior of the world. God sent his one and only Son. He says, wouldn't you expect to see me here, going about my Father's business, even at this young age? He knew there was a special thing about his life. He had a special mission. And I think we want to appreciate that particular thought. Appreciate it because God didn't have to send his gift. He didn't have to send his Son. He could have left us on our own. Sinners as we are, condemned to die because of sin, unable to live for God or search God out because we didn't want to do him or know him or follow him, our sinful nature would have had us abandon God. But God never abandoned us. You look at it, you look at him, he's just a child. But he'll grow and he'll mature. And one day, he would give that perfect life for you and me. Now I think of all the gifts that we receive, the wonderful gifts that we can really appreciate and we enjoy. Maybe they were gifts we hoped for. Maybe they are gifts we bought for ourselves. It's been done. But when we think of Jesus, think of a gift that was given just to continue to give. It won't grow old. It won't wear out. Don't have to think, did we include the batteries with the package? None of the things we worry about. Jesus is always there. And when we see him, it's like looking in the mirror, because we see someone just like us in every way, just like us. In every way, he would be tempted throughout his life, just like we are tempted. In every way, he would endure that which he didn't earn or deserve. For those who did earn and deserve the punishment, the ridicule, the shame, the suffering, and the death. Wow. What a gift we have been given. And I'm telling you now, don't go and try and exchange it. Folks like to do that, you know. They want something a little different. They want something a little bigger, a little better, a little something else. Something at all that it's not quite right. They want to pick it out themselves. Don't exchange the gift of God for anything else. There is no greater gift that has ever been given to you by the Most High than his one and only Son, the one he loves. Don't exchange it for what the world can offer, because what could it offer? It offers us only those things which break down and wear out and go away, that are in style one moment and then eventually lost. No. Cherish the greatest gift of all time. Cherish the fact that your failures, your sins, your guilt, your burden are all going to be carried on this one who at this time was only 12, but when he would be in his early 30s, would carry them all to the cross for you and me. The greatest gift of all time comes wrapped like you and me, in human flesh and blood, completely human, completely God. And he comes with one direct purpose in life, with the greatest of love, to save you and me. If you think of all the gifts that you maybe received and that were open, oh, the wrapping paper came off, and they all looked really nice, didn't they, at the start? All that wonderful glitter and the bows and everything. And then you ripped open the paper, and then most of the stuff inside was fairly ordinary looking. Jesus is fairly ordinary looking. His life is nothing that would be written about, shall we say, about all the glories that were his. No, he didn't come to be glorified. He came to be a savior. The purpose for this gift was only for you, all for you. And when we go through life, and when we think of all the things that come to us on a day-to-day basis, sometimes the disappointments that come, maybe you didn't get the right gift for Christmas this season, and you're disappointed about that, but Jesus Christ is the perfect gift, the right gift for all time. And he will always be there as he grew and matured. As he grew to be a man, time passed, and yet the mission that he had never changed. His love for you has never changed. Has our love at times grown cold? Have we sometimes forgotten about him? Have we sometimes forgotten that God so loved us that he gave us the greatest gift of all time? He gave us his Son, and faith in that Son gives us a gift that never grows old and is forever. That's life eternal. A life in which there are no illnesses to bother us, no sorrows to bring us down, no hunger to cause us to think about things we want, no thirst, no pain, nothing. It's all gone because Christ came as that greatest gift of all time, paid the price for your guilt, my guilt, our sins. Paid it in full, one time for all. And says, here's my gift to you. Be my brother, be my sister, be my family. Be with me in glory everlasting. I don't know what you received for Christmas this year. Maybe you got one of those commercial cars, you know, with the big bow on it, and everybody comes out and you got a car for Christmas. Wonderful. I'm happy for you. Maybe you got a new set of clothes. Maybe you got the special electronics that you were looking forward to. Maybe you just got a pair of socks. Doesn't really matter what the gift might be. A greater gift you'll never receive than Jesus Christ. A greater gift of love you'll never experience than Jesus Christ. A gift that lasts now and forever. A gift intended just for you, so that you know that you're loved by the Most High. The wrapping was fairly ordinary. It was just a boy from Nazareth, who came to save us. Who came to save us, and we notice when they left, what happens? They left, and he went to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You see, the account doesn't end when Jesus gets back with Mary and Joseph. His life went on, a life of obedience to mother and father, even though his heavenly Father was the one he would always obey. His life went on in all perfection for you and me. I know, it's the day after Christmas. There are presents and gifts to enjoy. There's maybe still a gathering or two to have with family and friends. But in all of that, may we be like Mary and treasure the wonderful gift that was there. She would treasure these things, and no doubt they would come to her mind much later in his life, as she would watch him abused and accused, as she would watch him die on a cross for her and for us all. Yeah, treasure up these gifts. And may it not just be a day after Christmas, but each day be another celebration of Christmas for the greatest gift of all time, to you and to me, Jesus Christ. Cherish the gift. Live for the gift. Love the gift. And of all the gifts you've given, this one in particular, share with others. Amen. And now may the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding keep your hearts and minds rejoicing in this great gift of the Savior until we stand with him in glory everlasting, the gift he came to give us. Amen.